back together again, you and I, wrapping up a busy week, Friday style, April 4th, 2025, on Connecticut Today, where we welcomed former Bridgeport Democratic State Rep. Chris Caruso to the show with more of his thoughts on a continuing state probe into the practices and the finances of the embattled Bridgeport Board of Education. University of New Haven Associate Professor of Finance, Dr. Demesio Ijarra, joined the show to talk about the market's continued reaction to the implementation of some new trade tariffs by the Trump White House. With echo too. Hey, it's about that time, heading into the weekend. We do this every Friday right around this time. Former Democratic State Rep. Chris Caruso with his thoughts on all things Connecticut, Fairfield County, and Bridgeport. Mr. Caruso, good afternoon, sir, and how might you be today?
Very good, Paul, and thanks for having me on your show. It's always a pleasure.
And well, I know, Chris, I've been told people like this segment. They have told me that. Yeah. So listen, you know, it's enough of my prattle for the time here. We got to have guys like you on who actually know what they're talking about. A lot of stuff Chris. Let's start with the and this to me is fascinating. This Board of Ed situation now with the state and Bridgeport and the finger pointing and the requests for funding and the red ink here. So what are your thoughts on this? What are you hearing here?
I think our school system is finally getting the attention it deserves from the state. And it's in the form of the State Board of Education overseeing the operations of the Bridgeport school system. It's not taking it over. And I think, you know, we've got to be careful on that because there's some that are saying, oh, it's a takeover by the state. No, it's not. The state is doing an objective review of the entire system. I was watching CTN, you know, the Connecticut Network, the other day of the board meeting with the state, and it was very eye-opening. You know, they looked at the schools, the age of the schools, the repairs that are needed in the schools. They've been holding listening sessions with students, teachers, and others. Community groups, organizations. They've looked at the nutrition program within the city. They've looked at the kitchens, believe it or not. There was some issues where some of the kitchens were, you know, below standard as far as cleanliness and things like that. So it's a comprehensive, objective review, not by Bridgeporters, but by a state agency that has oversight over the school systems throughout the state. And so they presented that report. You know, they're getting some pushback, I guess, from some board members, unfortunately, who aren't going to sessions to learn more about how to be effective board members, how to build a esprit de corps, if you will, a relationship between fellow board members and working effectively for the future of the school system. So, you know, there's some board members haven't been going to that. That's what led to the state system holding back on the selection of a superintendent because they feel it's critical that the board understand the process, those questions that need to be asked, so you get a superintendent that's going to meet the needs of Bridgeport. And in turn, we won't be going through superintendents as we've had.
Yeah.
We've had four or five over the last decade. It's ridiculous. So I think the state is trying. They're doing some good stuff. Equal to that, at the same time, in the legislature, there's a bill to reform the educational cost, the sharing system, which, if it's reformed, it passed out of committee by overwhelming numbers, and it's heading now to the floor of the House, I believe it is, House or Senate, and it would provide for $57 million for Bridgeport. And that's going to be based on the number of low-income families we have in the system, but also the number of students that speak multi-languages and that need the help in learning English and some of the other languages. So I think it's a move in the right direction. I encourage everyone in the city to get behind it. It was interesting, too, that they met with a group of Latino church leaders in the city, and that group has offered its support. And they felt that because of this intercession by the state, that they would have a good opportunity to be supportive. In the past, they haven't had that. The board's also, the state board, has also been meeting with partners in the community, other nonprofits who could give much knowledge and experience and skills to the school system. So I think we've got to give it a chance. I think we've got to be supportive of it. At the end of the day, It's about our students and our teachers, you know, and we've got to put everything else aside. You know, it was interesting in their listening sessions, they've spoken with teachers, and the teachers are in need of resources.
Sure.
You know, and they haven't had that. So it's a good opportunity, and I think people have to put their egos aside. They have to put their political differences aside and be supportive and work with it. There can be disagreement, of course, but it can't be to say, you know, just give us the money and we'll do it ourselves.
Oh,
because, you know, and the state isn't going to work that way. I remember when the city was on the verge of bankruptcy and borrowed $30 million from the state, a financial review board came in and controlled everything. And it right the ship with the city and put the city in a better position. But, you know, the state wants, you know, to show their investment that there's a good return on
it. Well, sure. I mean, Chris, it's like getting a mortgage. Hey, give me a $200,000 mortgage. Whoa, wait a minute here. Give us your pay stubs. Give us your credit history. Where do you work now? How big is the property? I mean, the fact, Chris Caruso, that people are pushing back on this, I mean, hey, well, this is your own fault over years. What do you expect the state to do?
Yeah, and, you know, Paul, it's probably never good to point fingers. I think at this point, you know, we're at a situation where we need the state intervention. We're getting that now, and we've got to be cooperative. The other thing they're calling for the state board and requiring is a forensic audit.
Yeah.
You know, there were board members even to this day that have called for that and have gotten nowhere. Well, now the state will do a forensic audit. We'll see where the money's going, how we're spending it, and then be able to resource the teachers and the student support services. I don't see anything wrong with that.
No.
It only bodes well for us. You know?
Well, the only people, Chris Caruso, that are scared about this are scared of, you know, what it may find. Like our parents used to say, apauda on this. Yeah, exactly.
Right. And my mother used to say, and don't be a scared.
Don't be a scared. Hey, Chris, one last thing here. Yeah. Good to see you. Yeah. You told me that apparently one of your ideas, an ethics commission for the city charter, is what? It's gaining a little momentum here? What's up with that?
Yeah, from what I'm hearing, it's gaining momentum. The only thing is, Paul, it has to be an independent charter, independent ethics commission. And I think that's where the fine details are trying to be worked out. But my hope is we get one. You know, you saw recently the former director of the health department has now been arrested, right? And allegedly gotten $5,000 worth of free tickets, right? Now, that's criminal. There's no question about it. But the ethics committee could have been involved in that earlier. We could have, the ethics commission could have, you know, forwarded that to the state's attorney's office for further review. It could have been fined. It just underscores the need to have an independent funded ethics commission with teeth in the city charter. And I'm glad to hear. One final thing,
sure.
Paul, if I could.
Sure.
There's an issue that's come up this past week. It's been around for a while, but it was on the agenda for the Planning and Zoning Commission. And that has to do with parking at developments, whether it be residential, commercial, or any development in the city. Right now, the requirements say that you don't have to have parking off on site. So you park on the street. And to her credit, and I want to give credit where credit's due, Judge Carmen Lopez has led that charge at the zoning meeting to change that regulation to require on-site parking. And we've all backed her up and supported her. She's really great. She was at a meeting on Monday and spoke out about it. And it's starting to gain support.
Good.
And the commission's looking at that. You know, for example, on the east side of Bridgeport, a developer was allowed to build 24 units of housing. No parking. So people have to park on the street. And there's this big thing going on, well, you know, transit, that we've got to take buses and all. Well, you know, we're not Boston. You know, you know, we're not New York City.
No.
And to expect a family in Bridgeport who has daycare and other programs to take a bus doesn't make sense. So I give credit to Judge Lopez. I hope people will focus on this with the zoning board, and hopefully we'll get results to change the regulation where on-site parking is required. But I needed to say that because it's an issue that affects every community in the city of Bridgeport.
Well, I mean, Chris, it's true, and thank you. And again, when somebody looks at a property to move into or to buy, first question is, you look around, where am I going to park, right? It's common sense. Hey, great stuff this week, Chris Caruso. Yeah. Chris, have a great weekend. We're back at you next week. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Okay, Chris Caruso there. Yeah, how about that? All right, as we speak, I look up on the screen here, see the Dow is down 5.5% today, a bit over 38,000 where it stands right now, down about 2,200 and change. So what should people do? What do the experts think? And joining us right now to give his views on what's happening, not to give you any sort of financial advice. We're not doing that here. Of course, consult with your broker or your financial professional. We haven't had this gentleman on in a while. Good to have him back. He's an associate professor of finance at the Pompeia College of Business at the University of New Haven, Dr. Demesiu Ajara. Dr. Ajara, it's Paul here again. Good to have you back. How are you?
Hi, how are you?
I'm good, Dr. Ajara. Good to have you back. Well, let's take a deep breath. You're a finance expert. What do you see? What is your long view of what we've seen yesterday and today, doctor?
Well, yesterday and today is not a long view, it is a short view. Reaction to this reaction to the tariff situation. What is at play here is uncertainty resulting from the tariffs. We don't know for sure, except from China, what other countries may do. And also, it will take even the U.S. tariffs, it will take some time until the true effect is known on import, export, and how that ultimately affects the companies.
Yeah, and Dr. Ajara, should people know, and is it true that these don't take effect right away? There is a time frame here, and the thought is here, right, that these are to maybe result in some negotiation. Is that part of the game here that's being played, if you will?
I am sure there will be some negotiations, there are talks. Mr. President Trump also said about something, if there is something they give us, we will look at it kind. So some ultimate negotiations will definitely be there.
I've interviewed experts, doctor, on this who say, yeah, tariffs are there kind of in a gentlemanly way, and they should not be used as, you know, sledgehammers in international policy, if you will. But then we're hearing from a lot of people, Dr. Ajara, saying, hey, the international trade needs to be shaken up, or, you know, it needs to be kind of reset. What are your thoughts on those ideas?
Yes, things need to be negotiated, but maybe, you know, unilateral action is probably harsh, and it could result in a counter reaction. So, like, historically, there is a GATT general agreement on tariffs and the trade that removed barriers and promoted trade. After GATT was a World Trade Organization. So now I don't see any other organization promoting that. It is basically bilateral and multilateral agreements. And I believe those agreements will continue until some form of international trade settlement is reached.
Mm. The guest is Dr. Demesiu Ajara from the University of New Haven of the Pompeia School of Business. Doctor, we look at this really on two different planes, right? There's the economic part of this, of tariffs, right, and the flow of billions and trillions of dollars. But there is also a political and an influential aspect to this as well, all right, as tariffs are used.
I'm sure, yes.
Interesting thought. Now, as we go forward here, what do you expect to happen as a time frame here for these negotiations? Short term, long term, we see a couple of nations have come to the table already. Do you expect this to be a long, drawn-out negotiation with these other nations or not?
I think, it will take at least months to ultimately settle. But in the short run, so that uncertainty will really affect stocks, especially stocks and specifically some industries that are heavily involved in import-export.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so the worst thing is like uncertainty. If it is known where the trade will settle or what other countries will do, then a new equilibrium will be reached.
Yeah.
And there will be stability. But now the uncertainty causes great instability, and also just people, investors, lose confidence.
Mm.
So
yeah,
that will result in like a decline in stock prices.
And Dr. Ajara, finally, I was wondering this driving home the other night, listening to everything that was going on. And I wanted to ask you this. Would it ever be possible in the modern world, as we, you and I sit here today in April of 2025, what would happen if there were no trade tariffs? There was tariff-free trade all over the world. We give you a price, you pay the price. No tariffs, no import or export tariffs, and goods just flow. Is that ever possible, or would the inequities be just too harsh?
I think in the long run it is possible, but it has to be like very long run. A parallel question with this is, will there be a single international currency? Eventually, you know, it is likely. It is a utopia. But it's not possible.
So the
it will happen someday.
So the you mentioned the international currency. So is that the reason that there's so many different currencies used up against the American dollar? Is that one of the main reasons that we have the tariff situation here?
No, it is not the reason expressed. But yeah, President Trump expressed imposing tariffs or taking some action against BRICS. BRICS members increase the number, and then they try to come up with their own currency for trading among themselves.
Mm.
So if that happens, and if they avoid the U.S. dollar, President Trump said he would take action. But what kind of action he takes, it was not clear. But the tariffs is, it's explicitly stated as a response to tariffs on U.S. goods by other countries.
Dr. Demesio Ajara on the implementation of those new trade tariffs. He's an associate professor of finance at the Pompeia College of Business at the University of New Haven. Dr. Ajara, good to hear from you again. Take care, sir, and I'm sure we'll talk down the road. Thank you.
Thank you for the opportunity.
Appreciate it. Dr. Demesio Ajara there. So there you go.